And welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and my guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Yeager. Carolyn is the author of Auschwitz, The Underground Tour, and the host of her own radio program, The Heretics Hour. She also writes articles for the Barnes Review, and, you know, the Barnes Review does publish books also. And they put out some very, very fine things. Carolyn has a website, carolynyeager.com, and elliewieseltattoo.com. And Gerhard also has a page on fighting for liberty. And I have linked that on the radio schedule page. So if you want to go and view what he has there, just click on that link. We do have some callers. Why don't we take Robert in Minnesota? Robert, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I was listening early on when you were talking about Adolf Hitler. And personally, I'm a very avid art collector. But I did take exception to the one thing which you said. I own a lot of velvet art. I don't know if you're familiar with velvet art, but it sounds like you're putting it down. But I want to say, you were referring to the Elvis Presley playing cards. I own at least a dozen Elvis on velvet. I haven't seen the one from playing cards.
This is real.
But I'll tell you what I
found out.
This
is Russ.
Well, let's move on.
Oh, Russ, you're so funny. Okay, let's take Ray in Texas.
Hello.
Ray.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Deanna. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi, Ray. I recognize your voice.
Oh, well, bless your heart. Hello, Gerhard.
How are you?
Fine. I've enjoyed your discussion. And of course, today being the celebrated birthday, I've been watching some video YouTube shots of the Reich when it was young, when it was new, and inevitably every one of them feature waves and waves of people with smiles on their faces, saluting, waving. Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is the evil police state that the establishment says Germany was. And, you know, what strikes me when I watch all those hundreds of thousands of people line the streets and him with the children and things like this, and I think, you know, those people have those looks on their faces because they have finally been set free. And
yes,
that's the very thing that he did, was to free his people from the eternal debt. Debt system of usury capitalism, and that's when he actually, you might say, signed his death warrant. The Jews were willing to allow, they'll allow most leaders to get away with certain things, but you don't fool with the goose that lays the golden eggs where they're concerned. So when they, as Amschel Rothschild said in 1754, give me control of a nation's money, I care not who makes its laws. They know that. If they control the financial system, they control the government and everything else in it. And so when Hitler came to power quite legally through the ballot box and took control of the German money supply and gave it back to the Germans and put the Germans in control of their own institutions, this was something that the internationalists could not allow. And so that is also why they waged total war. That's why they demanded unconditional surrender, was to wipe out any trace or any vestige of these people being free from debt slavery. And so when I see the faces of these Germans everywhere Hitler went, saluting, waving, happy, smiling, that's what I think of. Those people were truly free and not the sham of freedom that Americans think they have today.
Very well said. Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.
We do have to go to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back, friends. My guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger. And, you know, as much as we hear so many bad things in the world, you know, I find it still very difficult to walk around like I've been eating lemons. I'm just a really happy person. And despite the things we hear and despite the things that I research, I'm relatively happy. And that just tickled me. It really did. Russ is very funny.
He is so talented.
He is.
How did he do that? He should go on the stage. He's such an impersonator. I can hardly believe it, how good he is.
Yeah. It was funny. It just struck me really funny.
Well, I wanted to comment a little bit. Oh, go ahead, Gerhard.
Thank you. The last caller, I think,
yes.
Wonderful. He made such a beautiful revelation that is so true. But the sad thing of that is when you go today to that land where I came from, Germany, it's called, you don't see those smiling faces anymore. You literally have to go to a smaller village in the Bavarian Alps, you know, to get that smile back, that this has not been touched with this Zionist venom. And when you go to the cities like Frankfurt, Berlin, Hamburg, and it is, and you even go into the park, you don't even see the German mothers with their kinder wagen. It's mostly all people come from the outside. And that is sad. And you see, all that is
by a plan to get those smiles away. And
right.
And that makes you, particularly when you were born in that land, and when you go back and you see how it is mutilated, that really hurts, folks. I mean, that's what I was going to share with you.
Well,
and of course, with the caller, I don't want to misconstrue that what he says, because absolutely what he says, Hitler was the man who brought the smile back to the people. Why? Because he gave the people hope. And that's what we would need here today, hope, and Germany even. I think the whole world is looking for hope, isn't it?
Right. Gerhard, that's just what I was going to bring up, too, although you said it so much better, and being a native from there. But I'll add this point, that they do everything in their power today, with every kind of law, to squash any mention of Adolf Hitler or any, you know, any, because they're afraid of a resurgence of feeling that can so easily take place for this man and what he did. People, the memory is there, even in people who were born later, the memory lives on. You know, it's a genetic memory, and it's still pretty recent, and they cannot allow anything. Any decent word, a single, not even a cupcake, right, Deanna?
Right.
And this is shows the power of the good that he really did do, because these people who are now in control and cannot allow this are not accomplishing what he had accomplished there. And then they want to say, oh, I know what I was going to say. Then they want to say that he destroyed Germany, that they began teaching in 1945. They began teaching in 1945 that Adolf Hitler and his henchmen were the ones who destroyed Germany and created all this suffering for you because of their demonic war aims and, you know, their insistence on going to war against the rest of the world. And that's how they hold it in place. They have been carrying on war ever since, these people who say that they saved
them. Yes. And Karen,
blaming it on other people. Now they're blaming
Karen,
Muslims.
Yeah.
Karen, exactly what you are saying there, you only have to go, and that's even for our listeners, and there are people who travel to Germany, come back and forth. If you have doubts what Karen just said, go on and visit Nuremberg. You see, that's where Hitler made many of his presentations. And when you go there today, and the buildings are still there, the stadium is still there, but it's left in a dismay. And that doesn't even look mm-hmm. German. And the German local government, the city of Nuremberg, guess what? I was told this by a very informed source. He says, our hands are tied from above. We cannot do anything. We cannot touch anything. We cannot clean it up. We cannot tear it down. And it has to be left the way it is, that it's all with a purpose, you see. And,
that may be true, but I'm glad it's in terrible disrepair. You know, I went to Nuremberg when I was over there, and I went to the stadium. It's not the state called the stadium. That's the Olympic Stadium in Berlin, but they call it the party rally grounds in Nuremberg, which was once an amazingly beautiful place. And it meant a lot to me to go and see that, and see that it was still there. And the area and the building that Albert Speer designed, that horseshoe-shaped type building, actually it was never completed, on the other side of the lake. And so, you know, there's a lot that, but what they do is, in that horseshoe-shaped building, they have one of their documentation centers. And when they take tourists there, they stop the bus there, and they all go in there, and there's where they have all the big photographs and exhibits, and they tell you how horrible the Nazis were and how horrible that period of time was and what the meaning of all this is according to them. And then the people get a little tour around, and that's how they deal with it. You know, they want to make sure that you see you're going to see it, you know, in a negative way. You're not going to have any good feelings about it.
Yeah.
Well, they have to perpetuate that that myth of what he apparently
did.
Well,
yeah, and what we're saying is that the extremes that they go to do this are really shock. They shock people in the world when people are reminded of it. You know, the way they put people in prison and bring people up in the court of law for any little thing. And you know, you link to this picture of so funny that Frederick Tobin put on his website of the Australian Prime Minister, that woman, as she's called Prime Minister, and she's got her hand straight up there in that Nazi salute. And, you know, now if anybody in Germany, I have stories of where a tourist was standing, had his picture taken in front of the Reichstag. His tour guide or something took the picture. He wanted to stand in front of the Reichstag and put his hand up in that salute as a joke, you know.
Sure.
He was a tourist from somewhere. And somebody saw him and called this police woman over, and they arrested him, and he was stuck there, and he was taken to court. He was just a tourist. And they went through all this rigmarole with him. He was fined and everything. And because they cannot allow anything to pass by in jokes or humor or anything.
Sure. You know, that salute actually came from America at the end of the 1800s.
Well, I thought it was the Roman. It's the Roman salute.
Well,
the Roman salute. That's what actually started.
But they used it beginning in 1892 to celebrate Columbus Day in the school system when they introduced the Pledge of Allegiance. Two socialists introduced the Pledge of Allegiance, and they used that salute.
That's funny.
I thought they honored that maybe Reagan stole it from Sparta.
I like the picture. I know I'm being light-minded again, but of the cat.
Oh, yes. Weren't those great, too? I think we should talk about those. That is, again, shows that this stuff is so fascinating to people. They can't leave Hitler alone.
They can't. They really can't.
No. No.
No, but look at this. Even how do you want to make him a Zionist or a Jew today? But then if you reflect yourself back with Hitler when he was a little corporal, and I don't mean this in a bad way, and apparently he went off that war with high honors, and in one particular instance he was running from trenches to trenches to bring messages, deliver messages. As of one of his message delivery, he got shot at and from all sides. So in order to save his life, he jumped in a trench, and here were three Frenchmen, you know, were stunned that all of a sudden a German soldier was standing in front of him. So what he did is he made him a prisoner, you know what I'm saying? He could have shot him, you know what I'm saying? And here's another way. Now, could you imagine just a... if he comes from the line of the Jews, do you think a Jew would be so brave to do that and run around his DNA?
No.
Would
be so... No.
Oh, well, there's absolutely nothing about him that is Jewish. There's just nothing.
There's such clear nominators that you cannot, that you can make yourself up if you understand the history of the man, you see? And,
sure.
Now, did he go in there for big fanfares? No. He was going in there as a simple guy. He came out of there, and then guess what?
He refused promotions, Gerhard, because he didn't want to be an officer. He wanted to he didn't want to order the other men around. I think he didn't want to order them to their deaths or something. And
not responsible for them.
I can't say that for sure, but anyway, he did not want to become an officer, and he
our Trinity of Truth has to go to a break now.
Okay.
3 minutes. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, friends. My guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Yeager. We do have a couple more callers on the line, so let's go ahead and take Rick in Ohio. Rick, welcome to Spingola Speaks.
Yeah, it's a great honor to be on your program today, Deanna.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that Anthony Sutton, yeah, he's not a reliable source. Also, I wanted to add that I knew Eustace Mullins. And it is true, as Carolyn has stated, that as he got older, into his 70s and 80s, he got to that point of just agreeing with people and basically telling them what they wanted to hear to keep them happy. Now, back in the 1950s, even in the late 40s, 1950s and the 1960s and in through the 1970s, Eustace Mullins is one of the preeminent people speaking the truth about Adolf Hitler and his rise to fight against the banking interest. But by the 1980s, he was just getting tired of people just not getting it. So he became just agreeable with people. And a lot of people, they cite the most recent videos where Eustace would say something along these lines, just agreeing with the general right-wing mentality, okay? But they do not want to go back and research and see what Eustace was writing in the 50s or 60s, where he was speaking quite a different tune on that. I'll end by saying this, that people need to remember that it serves the interest of the powers that be to always demonize the good and glorify the evil.
Well, thank you so much, Rick. You've made a real big contribution. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm
appreciate
very
it.
Glad. I'm very glad Rick called and said that. That was yes. Really helpful.
I second that. Yeah, very good.
Yes, great. Thank you. Okay, let's take Lee in Georgia. Lee, welcome to Spingola Speaks.
Good afternoon, Diana. Was it Caroline and Gerhard?
Yes, thank you.
I'm a little bit stumped. Got a buddy here, and he's put forth a question, and I have no clue because this is the first time I've ever heard this. And he couldn't make call himself because he's a mute. He can't speak, so I have to translate for him. Apparently, this was some months ago, I guess 3 or 4 months ago, from the way I'm understanding it. He had heard a discussion about Hitler and the war, and he says that apparently during this discussion, someone had made the statement that the war against Hitler and Germany was not necessarily a war against communism, because as he understood what the older gentleman was telling him, was that Hitler, correct me if I'm right, Brian, or if I'm wrong, Brian, Hitler was fighting against communism and Zionism. I don't know anything about this, and so I'd kind of like to know the answer to this, too. apparently, he was more along the line of socialism?
Yes, that's all true. You know, basically, that's all correct, I would say. Well, Gerhard, what do you say?
Well, I would say that Hitler got confronted with a hidden capitalism that wanted Germany's demise. The destruction was already planned at the Versailles Treaty at that point. And Germany was a Christian nation. And Germany was a competitive nation. And the Zionists, in particular, Great Britain, did not tolerate competition. That's even what came from Churchill's lips straight off. He says that if England is ever in a dismay, then Germany was after World War One. He suggests to the British people that they look for another Hitler. And so that's where it pretty lies. Now, communism is a different little issue, because he knew eventually, sometimes we are mixing that in with one and the other, and even Russia today, they don't connect. Russia, communist Russia at that time was actually Zionist Russia. And their plan was also to destroy Europe and make it communistic in the same vulgar way what they have done to the Christian Russians, the Orthodox, and to the people who didn't bend down to the regime. They just got brutally murdered by the millions and millions. And the ones they did not murder, they let them hunger to death, like in
Ukraine.
Ukraine, thank you, Diana. So, yes, it is a big, huge load of... But Hitler's main concern, when they say sometimes that he was anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, and so there was no such thing. What he didn't like was what the banker, the moneylenders did, but he was actually afraid of communism. If that ever would hit Europe, that would be the end of the world, of a free world. So, thumbs up for Hitler, I would say, at that time. Did he make mistakes here and there? Yes. But, hello?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. But it was never anything that he did for his own ego.
Right. Okay, we do have to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Yeager.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Guests today are Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger. And just to elaborate a bit, the Soviets had troops lined up on their western borders in early 1941. If Hitler had not attacked on June 22, 1941, all of Europe would have been taken over by the communists. He literally saved Europe from communism. And then Eisenhower came in and basically relented and gave to allowed the communists to come in and liberate Berlin and stopped their frontal attack and allowed the Soviets to take over the countries that they did take over. So
absolutely. You know, Roosevelt and Churchill and Eisenhower and all their Jewish advisors and so on, they all handed all that over to Stalin. And there was no one that was more pro-Stalin than Roosevelt. He was the most pro-Stalin of all.
Ladies,
could we back up a little bit here?
Yes, listen. Yes, because, you know, can I just throw this thing in about the Jews? You were just talking about that before the break about Hitler's attitude, and you did that earlier too. And I said I was going to look for it in this book, and I have it here, and I'd like to just say it. Hitler was talking, according to Otto Wagner, he's going on for a long time about education and how the educational system needed to be set up and what was important, and he was talking about teachers and the kind of ethics and morality and education that they had to have. And he said that it didn't matter where they came from, but he says whether Nordic or Germanic, South German, Romance or Slavic does not therefore matter in itself. He's saying, well, of course, you know, certain people's, certain types of, certain groups of people teach certain subjects better, and other groups of people teach other subjects. But he knew that the Slavic was a part of the whole Germanic nation, and that he saw this as being, you know, as them cooperating together. And but then he's talking about them. He says, from among every race, there are assimilationists whom you can no longer distinguish from the race within which they live. Who is to say that a Huguenot has not assimilated in Germany? That's a kind of a French person, Frenchman. And the same thing is true for a number of Jews. Conversely, you cannot help but wonder about some Germans who, from an ethical standpoint, seem to belong elsewhere and politically may even be closer to our enemies than they are to our own Volk. Which, of course, there are lots of traitors always that you can find among the Germans. But then he goes on to say, talking about how important sports and physical education is and so on, and the teachers must understand this. And then he says it doesn't matter what their blood is or what descent they claim. He said, should a Jew manage to meet all these requirements, he will also be able to hold his own as a teacher and educator. I know Jewish soldiers and reserve officers who in the war were proper daredevils. So I was a little amazed to read that. It's not necessarily what I love to read, but he did, according to Wagner. And I know he was quite that way. You know, he wasn't hardline about much of anything.
Sure. And then we have the book by Rick, Hitler's Jewish Soldiers. Mm-hmm. There were many, many soldiers that fought for Germany that were Jewish.
Well, there were always Jews in the military.
Sure.
And a lot of them were still there.
Diana, you said it so nicely there, you know, the steps in the reference to Stalin, how he came in. But but what we maybe should mention to our listeners, too, is how America stopped the Germans in the back. And how
they did. Oh,
and
absolutely.
How is that? Because, you see, unconditionally, from 1914, they had already planned that eventually they're going to entice the Germans. Either the Germans would go against the Russians or the Russians would go against the Germans. But either way, the Americans from the back door would support the Russians.
Absolutely. With Lend-Lease and everything else.
Correct. And then that goes in unconditional support. In other words, there was not even a contract made here. We're going to give you so much. But it was just unconditionally. Now, Carolyn, in reference to Hitler and to what he had to face, and that was the German aristocrat officers, that he had a big problem with. Not that he wanted just to go straight on at them, but he knew that they had a problem to accept him because they were the Vons, they were the zoo, they were the aristocrats, the barons, and they just could not accept a corporal. Who just is going to be a little bit smarter, a little bit more alert, a lot more German than they ever have acted. And if you go in any of those guys, I'm looking here at eight of them. You know, take for instance Stauffenberg. He was one of the younger ones from Stauffenberg. Now, when you go today to Berlin, now he was a traitor to his own country, to his own people. They named the street according to this guy. And then you see this von Moltke, you know, another guy, big family.
Now, and let's
big
make
land.
It clear that this von Moltke, who was a part of the traitors, was he had a grandfather or great-grandfather who was a great German field marshal and patriot and so on. And sometimes his whole family had been, you know, military family.
So sometimes
they get kind of mixed up, so we have to be careful. This was the
most... but I am mentioning the Moltke, the last one who was actually a traitor, you know. Mm-hmm. And then take, for instance, this Canaris. I mean, I think he's something else. You know,
he's the worst of all.
Yes. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then you take back, then you take from. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has a head like a hawk, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you could see that he cannot accept a man of brilliance like Hitler. So you see, that is a great part of why and how Hitler lost the war, because of those people stabbing Hitler and his doings in the back. You see what I'm saying?
There were some of them that were working directly with British intelligence.
Yes.
Ray, who from Texas, wrote an email, and he said, I'd like to comment on Gerhard's words about how things are today in Germany. No smiles, the climate of fear, things are that way because the nation has been Judaized, and Americans cannot see that they are being herded into the same existence by the same set of criminals and their Gentile prostitutes, anxious for the 30 pieces of silver. Those people have to denigrate all things of natural beauty. It is their nature to do so. The sadness is that Americans have no defense against the Zionist poisoning. The Germans, on the other hand, had National Socialism, which, as in legend, the crucifix strikes fear into the hearts of the vampires, strikes fear into the usury crowd. Adolf Hitler, for a brief moment in time, freed his people from the vampires. America, unfortunately, is unlikely to have its Hitler step forward immediately, but he will appear. It is inevitable. Call it the light at the end of the tunnel. As Gerhard said, Hitler gave his people hope. That light at the end of the tunnel is our hope. Thank you, Ray.
Let's hope he's right.
Deanna, you know, that's the idea that another Hitler will appear is the great fear of the American people. I mean, that's a great fear that's being put in.
Exactly.
So you have to be a little careful when you start talking like that, because people will say, oh, my God, these are fanatics here, and they want Hitler to come back and so on.
Well, Ray said
I know Ray said it. I really don't. you know, I don't know what will come. But I think we should just talk about the past and not get too political about it. You know, I wanted to bring up this story. I wonder if you're aware of it. Did you see it? The smoke bomb ends Hitler birthday party. It's in your neck of the woods. It's in Lyons, outside. You know, one of the Chicago suburbs.
Oh, really?
And there was a story that 2 days before today, there's a place called P.J. Clem's Restaurant and Banquets, and a group of 60 people had hired one of the banquet rooms, and they're holding a peaceful gathering. They had asked for two birthday cakes.
When?
Two days ago.
Okay.
April 18th. And they were celebrating Adolf Hitler's birthday. They had one cake that said "Happy Birthday, Adolf Hitler," and the other cake. They were celebrating April 12th, the start of the Civil War. See, that's why this would interest you. And the other cake said, "The South was right. White men fight." And they were the restaurant supplied them with the cakes, and they were having their meal or whatever. And some guy came in with a backpack and went into the had to go through that room or something. Anyway, he's nearby. He went into a restroom and he set off a smoke bomb. Well, I guess it affected the whole restaurant. And so the whole place had to be evacuated and ruined their party. And that's why he did it. So it's kind of a fun story. The guy who owns the place said that he, you know, since we're in America, he's not being arrested or anything. But he said that he wasn't aware of the party's specific purpose. But, you know, they had some banners with swastikas decorating the room. So
interesting.
You will find all over the world there are a lot of small groups celebrating Adolf Hitler's birthday. Every year they do it all over the world, quietly, you know, among themselves.
Sure.
And you can get away with it here, but if you did that, you do that in Europe, they really will come down on you because they can't allow these kind of sentiments.
Sure. We do have another caller. Let's take Mark in Georgia. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello. One thing I try to be very, very directly clear of, in the name of the King of the Jews, Yeshua HaMashiach, anyone who will use the term Jew as a term of derision is going to have me saying, no, you don't either. And what in my dialogue with Muslims, it is contrary to their religion to speak ill of Jews, what they refer to as Zionist, and especially the Zionist regime. One thing I try to be very clear about, there's a man named David Irving. He is a British historian. He
right.
doesn't have any degrees wow. or anything like that. He doesn't have any position with any university where they could cut him off if he started daring to challenge the official account of history. They've branded. When I use the word branding, I want you to understand, I don't mean like a label on a can of soup. I mean like a red hot branding iron put on a piece of cattle where, oh, you're a Holocaust denier. And he said, look, I don't dispute that something happened and a lot of people got killed, including a lot of Jews. But my position is you've got to critically evaluate something to know that it's true. And what really sets off my warning is when people say, well, you can't question or challenge this assertion. And I'm like, well, if you can't allow, you know, it's like I got to, in the Bartow GOP has basically made me persona non grata because I handed out copies of this document that simply said our government has a moral and lawful obligation to prove that bin Laden was responsible for 9/11.
You're
and
right.
Our Congress criminal was in town and, you know, in this meeting. How dare you? You have an agenda. And it's like, I'm open and honest about my agenda. The problem is not that I have an agenda. The problem is my agenda for calling for people to be open and honest is in direct conflict with the satanic agenda of creating a one-world government by exalting these people that are members of treasonous organizations. And, I want to be clear, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers and like that, they are a satanic counterfeit of Judaism. And it is not a blanket indictment of any Jew that happens to be a Khazarian, because what I try to be very clear is it is the mindset that takes the moral tenets of the Torah summarized in the Ten Commandments and turns them completely upside down. So when I hear all these things people are saying about Islam, and I'm like, where are you getting this information? Have you talked with these guys at the local mosque about what you're being told? Have you actually honestly engaged in dialogue with them? Or have you just taken everything as though anything they say defending their faith has got to be this, you know, I don't know, you've heard this thing where there's this claim that Muslims are allowed to lie to people outside of their faith. And I'm like, yeah, the Babylonian Talmud says the same thing, right? So anyway, I'd like to get a heads up. If you ever have David Irving in as one of your guests, he simply says, you know, there's somebody who said that David Irving, well, your view of history, it's not going to be very popular. And David Irving
sure.
simply said, why should a historian care whether or not his view is popular? Should he not first care that his position is true? And where, you know, where he basically said, look, however many people got killed, it's still wrong. But, you know, so like I say, I commend people who examine and question and scrutinize. And I don't want to come to a foregone conclusion. When I'm trying to get across to people, the founders were right when they warned us about the enemy domestic. And if we don't deal with the people that betrayed us, have lied to us, have caused indiscriminate slaughter all around the world, including our own troops being beguiled into thinking the issue is the enemy way over there, I'm like, we need to deal with the enemy in our own midst first. And if we indict, prosecute, and convict, and I'm going to try to be very clear, in the context of due process, I advocate that every capital in every state and in Washington, D.C. should have a permanent gallows with a clear understanding. You violate your oath of office in any serious, significant way, this is where we're going to hang you. Because, you know, I'm not advocating anything lawless. I'm simply saying, you know, and the officiator of the swearing in should stand on the gallows with a clear understanding. See this? This is where we'll hang you if you violate your oath of office. But again, we need to return to justice. And like I say, I've rattled for a bit, but you do appreciate that there is a satanic counterfeit of Judaism that's created a lot of problems. Regardless of whether Hitler was just being stupid or irresponsible or directly responsible, it's an issue that we need to discuss and examine with clarity of mind, right?
In
Are you
going
to run for the next president of the United States?
Sorry?
Yes, you. I mean, you know, you got the focus that you should run for the next president of the United States.
Well, whatever, I wouldn't care. They say that Obama is a Muslim, and I'm like, well, actually, as long as he's sincere about it, I think we're on the same page that politicians are typically a bunch of chameleons. They will take whatever religious or position that they think will further their career or not impair their career, and they don't really give a rat's patoot. I mean, there's Machiavellians. My YouTube ID is Rat Disciple, and I'm going to explain there's many layers of Zionism. You want me to stand by?
Yes, do. Okay, we got to go to a three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
All right, we are back. My guests today have been Gerhard Strau and Carolyn Jaeger, and we did have to let Mark go. Remember that Hitler was fighting on two fronts, and both of those people, the Soviets were logistically helped by Lend-Lease, and of course we have the international bankers. So militarily, he did the right things, but fighting on two fronts was almost impossible. Okay, we do have a couple callers left on the line. Let's really quick take Larry because we are running out of time. Larry, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. And my hat's off to all of you. This is a real stimulating conversation. I wanted to ask you, because it seems like we just get this commentary on a day-by-day basis of how they're enslaving the masses. But what is it going to take to get action, and what could we do that would be make a meaningful difference in changing the course that history is headed?
I think that's a whole nother program, actually. First of all, you need to be educated and know what's going on, so you need to turn off your TV. But, you know, the people that will hear will accept, but, you know, a lot of people are indoctrinated and brainwashed, so we're swimming against the current.
Yeah. I think it's a good question in that we have to realize that people do not want to change, do not want their world to be changed. The reason that Adolf Hitler was able to be successful when he was with his National Socialist program was because of World War One and what was done to Germany after World War One, and Germany had been for 10 years in a terrible situation, which was just, it got a little bit better and then it started getting worse again until it was so bad that people, and they had all these democratic governments, parliaments, and none of them could ever solve the problems or make anything better. And finally they said, and this kind of relates to what Ray from Texas had written us about. Finally, the people said, and Hitler had worked for all this time building up his party. Never, you know, he worked tirelessly at it. And finally they said, okay, we will give him a chance. And they offered it to him. He didn't steal it or seize it or take it. And they said, you know, we will give you this power and see if you can help us. And he did. And when they saw that he brought results, then he became the most popular man in Germany, and eventually, you know, they just went along with anything that he wanted to do. And he did luckily have Germany's best interests in mind, but the enemies are the ones that forced Germany into war. And so then things ended up, you know, getting destroyed again. So the enemies are always at work, I want to say to this caller, and it's difficult. It's
absolutely
very difficult.
So they were in the same financial malaise that we're basically
even worse.
They were dying of hunger.
Yes.
You see, the German people were dying of hunger, and it was not a very nice sight, because what Hitler actually till he get into in 1933, that was 14 years that he battled. And he was scrutinized, and he had no support from the existing system whatsoever. Actually, they wanted him out of sight.
Right. Sure. Well, guess what? We have run out of time. I'm sorry, Jeff, we could not take your call. But thank you so much, Gerhard and Carolyn, for being on the program today. It was wonderful with our little trinity of truth. Thank you.
Thank you.
Both of you.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
Yes.
Bye-bye, listeners.
Bye.